Wouldn't you love to just see yourself in the mirror? None of us really can look at ourselves in the mirror in an honest way. The Mishnah Negayim says, Kol HaNegayim Adam Raya, all the various Negayim, which is this week's Parsha of Tazria, Mitzayra, of Tsaras, a person can see, Chutz Minegay Atzmai, except for his own Negayim. So what does that mean, really, that we can't see our own Negayim? Seems to be, the Balei Musar say, from the Rishonim, the Meiri, and others, that it's referring to our bad attributes, our flaws, our negativities. So we can see all the negayim of other people, but we can't see our own. Why can't I look at myself in the mirror? What's the depth behind this chazal? And really, in this week's Parsha, the topic of negayim is going to be very prevalent. Next week's Parsha, there are a few other things which need to get mixed in. We start off with the topic of childbirth. Childbirth, then we move on to Mila, cutting the Mila and giving a circumcision, one of the greatest mitzvahs that we have. And then we move on to the topic of Tsaras, a person speaking Lashon Hara and then contracting what in English is leprosy, but it's not really leprosy. So the question is what's the connection between childbirth, a very beautiful thing, Mila, another beautiful thing, and then Lashon Hara, Tsaras, what's going on? Now, the question as well, within childbirth, you go a little deeper, is what's wrong with childbirth? We have a woman giving birth. It's beautiful. It's amazing. She is bringing the Jewish nation further into our mission in life, bringing more Jews into the world. The mitzvah puravu. What in the world is going on that she contracts a tumah, an impurity, a blockage? Seemingly, she's doing the most wonderful mitzvah ever. She is an abode, a home, an expression in this world of the Jewish soul that it comes out. Rav Shimshon Pinkus beautifully explains that the whole idea of tzniyus, the whole idea that a woman has to be more modest, is because the more precious something is, the more we cover it up, we keep it safe, like money in the bank. No one tells you they have just millions in the bank. It's so precious. Diamonds, they don't reveal it to you. So the Jewish woman, who's the pinnacle of preciousness in this world, because she hosts and she brings down into the world the Jewish soul, the Jewish neshama. That's what a woman is. She's able to encapsulate and express and bring out to fruition the Jewish neshama. That's a Jewish woman. And then when she does that, when she does the greatest thing, the height of heights, she contracts the tumah. And more than that, she brings karbonos. And the pasuk says that it's a kapara. It's a kapara. What did she do wrong? Very, very puzzling. The Gemara Nida says that one of the things that she does wrong, which she brings a kapara for, is because she swore during the childbirth that she can no longer be with her husband. She can no longer create more children due to the intense pains of childbirth. Now, that's a very interesting idea because fundamentally, a woman who takes a swear in her mind, it's not even a valid shvua. It's not a valid neder. Besides the fact that we understand why she did it, she could just say, I was in pain. And besides the fact that her husband, as the Ramban and others point out, is in control of her nadarim. So what, she didn't even do anything wrong. There was no chait. On numerous levels, there's no actual neder chal. So if so, what's the Gemara in Nida trying to express to us? What's the idea that a woman brings a carbon for those thoughts? And again, why in the world does she contract an impurity at all? Then we want to Mila, and then comes the Mitzayra. The Mitzayra is a very interesting thing. The Rishonim explain that the Mitzayra is the one who experiences miracles. Because tsaras is not just an illness. Tsaras is not just your normal run of day. I'm going to go to the dermatologist. I'm going to check it out. I'm going to speak to them. Tsaras is something supernatural, as is clear in the Rambam and the Ramban together. Both explain there's something above nature. So if so, we have to understand what is going on here. And where do we find ever there's such a clear, direct correlation from Aveira to the expression of Aveira, the Einish. Where do we find these two concepts so correlated in this world? You speak Shnara, boom, you get this Aveira. And there are other examples where Tzaraas comes on a person. However, the pinnacle example that we find in the Torah and in Chazal is Lashon Hara. So what is going on that Lashon Hara creates this direct effect on a person, this reality, this nuance in his life, that like this ever so slight thing on his body, he gets a little something on the flesh. A little thing, very slight. Negev Tzaraas. And we find that it's dependent upon the Kohen. Again, not a dermatologist. You can't go to Dr. Goldberg and say, like, yeah, this really itchy thing. He won't know what to do with it. He can give you steroid cream, and he can give you some natural stuff. He could send you to the Dead Sea, and you could sit in the salt water, and it's not going to cure your tzaraas. So why is it dependent upon the Kohen? Very, very, very puzzling. We find that the Metzora, in the healing process, he leaves the camp. He goes out. Why does he do that? The Gemara explains, because he separated between husband and wife. He separated between man and his friend, so therefore he separates from them. So what is this? Is it just like something symbolic? Like you separated, so now you're separate. Is it just to remind him, like, hey, you did that, so now he has to sit outside the camp for all these days? Well, there has to be something more behind the Torah's intentions. The Gemara gives us a clue in, a hint. Something we can start grabbing onto, but what really is it that a person has to sit outside the camp again for the sin of Lashon Hara? We don't really find these things in any other cases as a direct result of the sin. Then, again, this is physical expression. Only the Kohen can dictate that physical expression and its purity. And then, because he caused something with that sin, then which he may or may not have caused, it doesn't always create an effect. In fact, there's a very interesting shaila between the Chavetz Chaim and Rav Sol Salanter went over the Sefer Chavetz Chaim, and I think it was either one or two things. There's only two things he didn't agree with. One of them was, maybe it might have only been one. One of them was that the Chavetz Chaim says that when a person says Lashon Hara, you have to go and ask for Mechila. And Rav Sol Salanter says that no, he's just going to create more Machlekes. So that was their Machlekes. Do you have to or not go and ask for Mechila? And the point is, though, that you may have not even created effect between husband and wife. So where is the Gemara coming from that that's why he goes outside the camp? And if there was no Machlekes created, if it was a single guy who had no friends, a ger, then, you know, not that a ger doesn't have friends, Chas V'Shalom, but if it was a ger who didn't have family and he wasn't married yet, he just came into the religion, he's fresh out of the thing, you take him for a walk, and then, you know, you talk a shnar about somebody, no one knows him yet. So now it's okay? Now it's okay because it didn't break up his relationship with any of his family because he doesn't have family, or his friends because he's new to the community, just came in. So that what's going on? It can't be that the Gemara's line of logic is the actual reason that he sits outside the camp. It has to be just indicative of something, and the question is what is it indicative to us? You go on in the Parsha, and part of the Tahara process is that he should go around saying, Tameh, Tameh. He screams out, I am Tameh, I am Tameh, I am impure, I am impure. Why does he need to do that? The Gemara tells us, Shabbos, so the people should bikshu alav rachamim. So they should daven for him. Again, puzzling. We have so many avers, so many different things. And we always need people to daven for other people. We always need tefillos in Klal Yisrael, especially for the sinners. According to the Maral and others, the whole entire idea of Lamal Shinim and the tefillah we're saying, the prayer, is that we should smash the Yitzharas. We daven hashivenu, that people should come back. All of a sudden, by the Metzora, we have this idea that he has to call out for people to daven for him. I mean, there are so many different averus and punishments that people get as a result of different averus. All of a sudden, now is the time when there's a need for him to ask people to daven for him. What's going on? One answer to this, which is not the direction we're going to go in, and this is a very important idea, is that when we say Lashon Hara, when we go and sully our mouths, it's like taking our tires of our car and slashing the tires. You want to get somewhere. You want to go and do something. So you have a vehicle to do that. And then you just slash the tires. You would say to the guy, what are you doing? You can't go anywhere. And the answer is only a crazy person would do that. We all have a car. We all have a rocket ship, a vehicle to take our prayers up to heaven. That's our mouth. Says the Chafetz Chaim, when you speak Lashon Hara, you're slashing your tires. Your tefillos, your Torah won't go up in the same way. So we all have to be careful about this. And it's a very, very true and important point that we can't sully our vehicle. We can't bust the tires. We can't take out the engine. That's for sure true. However, there's still something very interesting that needs to be understood over here. Because while it's true that he can't pray, so others pray for him, says the Chafetz Chaim, because his car is busted. His engine's out. The check engine light is on and it's not going off. So he needs other people to daven for him to heal him. We still don't find that by other things, the kalal comes and davens for you. All the time we should have the kalal daven for you. Why specifically here? And in addition, the Chafetz Chaim's reasoning doesn't, people don't learn for him. It's the Chafetz Chaim as well expresses his Torah. So people don't go and learn for him. What's the specific idea that we need people to daven for him? Bikshu alav rachamim. That he should have rachamim. Again, it doesn't say all his needs in his life, not that, you know, he has parnasa and he has different things in his family. They're davening for him this specific thing. So while the Chafetz Chaim says a beautiful idea that you can't ruin the wheels of your car and expect to go, and therefore everyone else needs to daven for you, it doesn't particularly answer what the idea is that bikshu alav rachamim, they're asking for mercy for him. They're not asking for everything else in his life. So the question begs is what's going on in this week's parsha that he calls out Tameh Tameh? So everyone's bikshu alav rachamim. We don't really find that anywhere else. And even the idea itself needs to be understood over here. What is going on with him? You go further into the parsha and we see an extreme purification process. Tazria is the Tumah. And Mitzora is when you have the whole entire purification of this person. Now, we don't really find such a big split. We need a whole parsha for the Tumah, another parsha for the purification. And the halachas of Negayim are so complex and deep. They're one of the hardest mishnayos to learn. So many different points, very deep and intricate and difficult. Ask how many people, oh, you took the mishnayos for Negayim for the yard site? And most people are like, oh, no. I think the Rav took it. He could handle it. You know, why are these halachas so complex? And the purification process is so explained and a whole other parsha. What's with this extreme level of complexity over here in these parshas? And the last question we'll ask for now, which is so difficult to understand. The Torah tells us, as we just explained, there's Mitzvah. There is the parsha of purification. There's the tikkun of the negayim that come on you when you speak Lashon Hara. And then comes along the Gemara in Erechin from David HaMelech and says that someone who's siper ein loy takana. He doesn't have any fixing. How could that be? That seems to be a contradiction to the Torah. It says that David HaMelech said it with Ruach HaKodesh. But we have a Torah. Torah gives me a whole process that we do have a way to fix it. We do have karbonus. We do have a way to come back. David HaMelech says, Ein loy takana. What does that mean? That Ein loy takana. He has no way to fix it. Seems to be a contradiction to the Torah. So we're going to try and give an approach over here, which will be tying in the ideas we've spoken about and trying to understand Lashon Hara and how it applies to our lives. How we can grow better. And everyone who's listening here, everyone who's listening online, can really take an unbelievable lesson out of this, where we will go up. So the question is what's the connection between these things? The source of Tumas Leida, of Mila, the Orla, are from one place. That's from the Nachash HaKadmoni. The original serpent that sly animal creature which ruined our reality, which ruined our existence, which ruined our lives until this very day. What did he go and do? He tricked Chava, says that she was covered by Hashem to a certain extent. She didn't listen to Hashem with her actions, Machshava and Maisa. And that caused all the darkness of the whole entire world, of the whole entire existence, came from this sin. So what started it all? The sin of the Nachash. What was Chava's punishment? That she has to give birth in a challenging way. So every time a woman gives birth, the Tumah and the Kapara, the atonement, are not for her particular sins now. She's doing an unbelievable thing. But the process she has to go through, the difficulties, the challenges, the hardships, are from the Chet Etadas Tevera, are tying all the way back to the beginning of history. And that is something that she's living now, because she's not living in a perfect world. Similar to what the Yerushalmi says, that every single generation that the Beis HaMikdash is not built, is destroyed. Every single generation, we don't rebuild it, it's as if we're destroying it. That means it's incumbent upon us to be working against those factors which have created the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. And when we haven't worked on them enough, it means we're still living them. That means we're actively destroying the Beis HaMikdash now. So too over here. With Chava, those mistakes, that Yitzhahara, those darknesses, those challenges are still in us right now. So when a woman gives birth, she is expressing that sin, those mistakes, that lack of fixing of the truth is still around right now. So that's the connection of Chava. What did Chava go and do? She gave the fruit to Adam. And the Gemara in the Sanhedrin says that Adam ate from that Eitzas Tovira, and he was Mashach Arlasai. He pulled back his Arla. So the question is, how did Adam Rishon have an Arla? How did he have a foreskin? It says that he was born without one. So before Hashem explain, Chida, Arizal, and others, some of the Rishonim, that when Adam ate from the Eitzas Tovira, he broke the covenant with him and Hashem. And some say he literally physically did something to his foreskin. Some say it was symbolic of what the Bris Mila is. And he broke a certain relationship with him and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Chava is the first part of the Parsha. She connected everything. She started all the darkness. She brought that to Adam. So we have Adam and Chava. We have the childbirth. We have the Orla, which was a result as well of the Chet. And the question is what started all of that? What started all the Chataim, all the challenge, all difficulty that we have? It was one thing. The Midrash says, and it's clear in the Chumash like this, that the Nachash had the first thoughts and expressions of Lashon Hara, of bad mouthing. Who did the Nachash bad mouth? Who did he say Lashon Hara against? He said it against Hashem. He said it against the Bari Olam. He said it against our Creator, our Sustainer, our Lord, our Father, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's our Abba and Shemayim. And came along the Nachash and said Lashon Hara. What does Lashon Hara do? Explains the Mara. It creates a separation. It creates a distance. It creates a block between me and you. Between you and your brother. Between you and Hashem. This is what Lashon Hara does. It creates a distance of distances that no physical example can bring out. It puts you in one place and someone else in another. Chava and Adam, before the chet, the eight das toivara, were one with their neshamas. The Zohar says they were a blasting holy light. You could see the neshamas on them. And what happened from the Lashon Hara? It separated Chava. And then she ate from the eight das toivara and clinched that. The Nachash brought Lashon Hara, which creates the separation. The separation between us and Hashem. That's what the Lashon Hara does. Bad speech separates you and the Borei Olam. Separates you and another Jew. Separates you from yourself. Because they were one with their neshamas. And the ultimate expression of you in this world, the ultimate expression of self, is not all your bad stuff. It's not all your challenges, not all your difficulties. It's your neshama. We said this before. Amcha kulam tzadikim. Your nation are all tzadikim. Lefichach, therefore, says the Mishnah, yeshtem chelik l'olam haba. They all have a chelik, a portion, in the world to come. What's the translation? What's the connection? What does that mean? It means that every yid is fundamentally aligned, fundamentally one, connected with his neshama. And when everything gets wiped away, Achar Moshe, after one passes, and he goes through every tikkun he needs to go to, he will be in Olam Haba. Because your defining factors are not your difficulties. Your defining factors is your essence, is your soul, is the real you. The greatest mistake we make is that we define ourselves by our sins, by our actions, by our mistakes. And that's why tshuva is so hard for us. Because we can't accept we did a mistake. Because the second we accept we did a mistake, then we are bad. Says the Svarno that the first step to tshuva is saying, I did a mistake. But it was a mistake. Every sin was a mistake. Ein adam chayte, a person does not sin. Ela in kein. Nichnas boy ruach shtush. Unless a foreign wave comes in him, a shtus, a ruach shtus, something which is stupid, silly, comes inside of him, and he sins. That's a mistake. And a person could be blended with that mistake for a long time. So that's what the Nachash did. He covered up our souls. He distanced us from Hashem. He made us think we're one with the mistake as opposed to one with the Borei Olam. So all the ideas of us being selfish, having our own motives, came as a result of the chet of the Nachash, which led to us eating the Itzas Tevira, which made us become one, mixed up, as Nefesh Chaim says, that there is no tzaddik even. Ein tzaddik ba'aretz shel yechta. There's no tzaddik, there's no holy person in the land, didn't sin. He says that means in every one of your actions there's always going to be some connection to a sense of self, where I'm not doing it purely for Hashem or purely for someone else, purely for good. Because once I got mixed inside of me, the Eitzas Tevira, I became blended with a certain selfishness, separation from you, separation from Hashem, and ultimately separation from yourself. Because you're going to be blended with your physical body, with your guf, with the Nefesh Bahamas, the bad parts of you, for all of eternity. And that's even the tzaddikim, says Nefesh Chaim, who never sin, but their actions will always have some form of connection to self. So what is the ramification of the first time we ever had Lashon Hara? It was all the darkness in history. Lashon Hara blackened, darkened, and ruined the world. This is what Lashon Hara did, because it created a separateness. There was a story with the Satma Rebbe Zatzal, Rav Yoel. Rav Yoel was known to be a tremendous Baal Chesed, huge, moving mountains for other people, raising copious amounts of money. His whole entire trip to America, which ultimately was not a trip, is where he lived. He originally lived in Eretz Yisrael, and then he stayed in America, was because he went there to raise funds to help out needy people, help out people learning, help out Yidden growing. His whole entire mission in life was for one thing, to help other Yidden. and people would be coming to him day and night for this purpose. He was always there to stick out his hand for another Jew. At one time, the Satmar Rebbe came to Eretz Yisrael for a visit, and people who had needs would go to ask him for money to help him, to help them, and he always would. The Satmar Rebbe, whenever he would come to Eretz Yisrael, would accept people all day and all night, giving them money for this need, hearing out their troubles, their sorrows, their difficulties. And there was a person who was from the Atilumi, Zionistic section of the Jews, that part, that was the ideas he subscribed to, and he was very ill. And he needed money for a surgery. Someone said to him, hey, Rav Yehlev Satmar is in town. Why don't you go to him? He said, listen, Rav Yehlev Satmar, his whole life's mission is to go against the Zionists, to say the state of Israel is wrong. How can I, someone of this exact ideology that he goes against, how can I go to him? How can I get from him? How can I ask him? He wouldn't give me. So his friend said, okay, listen, I hear what you're saying. So you know what you could do? Buy for a couple hundred shekel, you know, white shirt, black pants, a suit jacket, a different kind of kippah, and go to Rav Yehlev Satmar and plead your case, tell him what's going on, and I'm sure he'll help you. So the man, he heard what he was saying. He thought about it. He went and bought everything. It was a small investment for saving his life. And he went into the Rebbe. And when he went into the Rebbe, he started telling him his case and explaining to him and crying to him. And the Rebbe, at some point, chapt, understood, saw that something was a little different over here. Something wasn't exactly in place. So the Rebbe said to him, is this who really you are? Is this really what you're dressed like and what you subscribe to? Hear it in the way he spoke, that he wasn't familiar with the same way of speaking as the Haredim, the Hasidim, or the Yeshivish people in America. He knew something was off. The man couldn't believe it. He already felt like he was dead. He was so embarrassed. And the Rebbe started to cry. And the man said, what? The Rebbe looked at him. Rabbi Yoel said, you are a Yid. You are a Jew. You are my family. You think because we don't have the same exact beliefs that I wouldn't help you? You think that there would be a distance between us because of what you do on your day to day? You are a Jew. And that means I am one with you. And that means I will help you. Who was this person, Rav Yehlev? He was someone who didn't live the distances that many of us live. He didn't live the distances that the Nachash, that the first horrible Aveira caused. The first Lashon Hara caused extreme distance. The Nachash spoke Lashon Hara against Hashem. That created a distance between Chava and Hashem and between Chava and her husband. When was the first fight between Adam and Chava? The first distance? After the Lashon Hara, after the Chait, the Satmar Rebbe was able to live above that distance. He lived the oneness of the Neshama. This week, we talk about the Tazria, the Mitzayra, the person who is inflicted with this horrible illness. This illness is not from this world. It's a nace, it's a miracle. Because the moral explains, as we said, that you separate yourself when you speak Lashon Hara. You're not one with the Klal anymore. You're not aligned. So why does he go outside the camp? We asked, we said the Mitzayr goes outside the camp because he's separated between a man and his fellow or a man and his wife. And what if he didn't, we asked? No, because he's living the separateness that was created in the beginning of creation. He's living the distance which the Nachash created, living that lack of unity. And this is something that we all have to focus on. That we, when we speak Lashon Hara, are fundamentally chutz l'machaneh. We are living external. Rabbi Radinsky once explained that why is the nega, why is the tsaras an external thing, an external miracle? Because you are living external. You are not living with your soul. You are not living with the Jewish people. You are not living the unity between you and Hashem. So Lashon Hara breaks our unity. It creates a separateness. This is the crack in all of history. And that crack runs into childbirth. That crack runs into the Mila, the Orla. Wouldn't need to be there if it wasn't for this Lashon Hara creating all the bad things. And then it runs into when we create a separateness right now. Is there Lashon Hara on a guy, on a non-Jewish person? No. Is it a good midah? The Chafetz Chaim says, stay away from it because it'll be marul you, it'll make you regular in it. But there's the Jewish nation, which has an innate unity, and then there's the rest of the world who are as well on this earth, and God created them, but they aren't one in the same way we are. So there is no Isser of Lashon Hara because it's not relevant. The Isser of Lashon Hara is because you are creating that distance, that separateness, that absolute divide between you and another Jew. And that divide is real. He goes chutz l'machaneh. Ein loy takana, says the Gemara. He has no fixing. What does that mean? Says the Chafetz Chaim. On a Baal Lashon Hara, there is no takana. Someone who is constantly speaking Lashon Hara, he can't fix that. Because he's constantly living outside of everybody. I can't fix living outside of everybody if I'm constantly living outside you. I want to be part of the community, but I move 20 miles away. So I say, no, I want to fix it. I want to be in the community, but I live 20 miles away. I can't live that. I can't live that reality of being part of the community life when I am extracting myself from the community. How can I live in the community if I'm extracting myself? Lashon Hara, bad speech, separates you and another Jew. It puts you outside the camp. It's not because you created a rift right now between a man and his wife or a man and his fellow. It's because you are living the rift of all of reality. You're living the crack in creation which separates you and another Jew. Therefore, you have to go outside the camp. You have to live that. You have to know it's not just symbolic. It's real right now. All the Lashon Hara, which we unfortunately do speak, the Gemara says, Avak Lashon Hara, everyone speaks, is living the ultimate chait of all of history. We have to try and be above the chait. So what happens? He screams, Tame, Tame. He tells everybody he's Tame. Why does he do that? Big Shoal of Racha. So besides what we said from the Chafetz Chaim, that obviously your vehicles to bring your tefillahs up have been damaged, there's an even deeper idea that you are bikshul of rachamim. You are praying for that mitzvah because you're bringing him back into the fold. And he knows that. He says, Tamei, Tamei, and everyone's davening for him. There's kenes to heal him. Hey, why is there kenes to heal him? Oh, we're davening for the mitzvah. We want him back in. We want him to stop that divide. We're going to show him we're one with him. We're going to be one with him. When I put my heart on you, I'm one with you. When you know I'm putting my heart on you, you're one with me. If you would know that I care about you so much, I love you, I'm doing everything for you, then someone comes up to you and says, hey, what about him? I'm not going to speak bad about him. We're the best. It's a simon and a living reality. A living existence of the oneness. When Klal Yisrael comes together for tefillos, for bikshul of rachamim, it creates a unity. And this happened back to the 7th. There was kenis after kenis after kenis of tefillah. My grandmother told me, she lives in Bar Park, the chassidim were pouring into the streets. My parents in Muncie said that there's some sort of baseball stadium over there, minor league, the Boulder Stadium, and there was kenis tefillah. The Jews were constantly getting together. We are not separate. We are not divided. We are not distant. We are really together. We are really one. The only distance is not the miles, not the airplane ticket, it's not the car drive. It's in your heart. And Lashon Hara reinforces that distance. So we're bikshu alav rachamim. We create that unity. We create that togetherness. We create that oneness. Because that's really what it is. That's the takana. That's the fixing for him to create, to live, to thrive in the oneness. The Baal Shem Tov says that kol hanegayim adam raya chutz minigei atzmai. That's what the Mishnah says. And we ask that, why can't you see your own negayim? I can see my own flaws. It may be hard sometimes, but I really give a hard look. But it's an absolute statement. If you want to say in a Muslim sense, it's an absolute statement. You can't see your own negayim. But I'll tell you, this is my flaw, and that's my flaw, and that's my flaw. So I could see my negayim. So obviously there's different levels, different layers. Baal Shem Tov says it a drop deeper. The Baal Shem Tov says that a person sees the negayim chutz. That all the negayim that you see chutz, kol hanegayim shat roya, kol hanegayim adam roya chutz. That all the negayim that a person sees chutz that you see externally from you, they're nigei atzmai. Kol hanegayim adam roya chutz. That all the negayim that a person sees chutz are nigei atzmai. They're really your own negayim. They're mamshich. They come from your own negayim. Why does it use the lashon of negayim? What's a nega? A nega is an external stain from lashon hara. So explain to the Baal Shem Tov that all the negayim that you see externally to you are from your own negayim. Anytime I see the lashon hara on you, the bad in you, the wrong in you, it's from my own negayim. It's from my living of the lashon hara, my living of the slander, of the ultimate slander of the nachash. When I live his sin, which is creating a distance between me and you, which is creating a separation, a divide, then I see the bad in you. But if I would be one with you, I wouldn't have the nigei atzmai. I wouldn't have my own distance, divide, separation from you. If I wouldn't have that nega, if I wouldn't have that blemish, that tumah. Tumah is always a blockage. If I wouldn't have the blockage between me and you, I wouldn't see your nega. So when we come to look at other Yidden, how do we avoid lashon hara? We live above that slander. We live above that separation. We live above that divide. And this is what we all have to think about in our lives. If a person would go up to my mother and say to her, yeah, Yoni Ash, yeah, he's your son, right? Yeah, oh, he's not such a nice guy. You know what he did the other day? And tell him something that they didn't like. My mother, God bless her, she is amazing, is going to start defending me. I know her. She wouldn't hear. She'd be like, what are you talking about? Maybe you misunderstood. Maybe something happened that day where it was so out of it, he wasn't feeling well. Maybe it was someone else. She's not going to accept that distance, that divide, that negativity against me, because she's one with me. She's my mother. If we live like this, that we hear something against another Yid, we think something against another Yid, and we feel one with them, we feel together, we don't feel the distance, we feel the unity, then we won't hear it. We won't see the negayim of another person, because there won't be a divide. If we don't have nigei atzmai, other people won't have negayim as well. If you walk into a shul, if you walk into a community, if you see someone you don't like, and you start thinking, these are all my brothers, I promise you, you'll feel different. You'll feel closer to them. We have to walk into a shul. We have to walk into a supermarket. Someone cuts us off. Say, you know, he's my brother. I love him. He's a great guy. He must have had something going on that day. But it doesn't get there until you start living beyond the sin. Until you start living above the chait, the chisaron, the emptiness. When we fill up our holes, then we become one with all other Jews. So let's have a different reality. Let's have a reality where we become one with other Yidden. If we don't have the nigei atzmai, if we don't have our own separation, our own lashon hara, our own distances, if we separate ourselves from the nachash, then we'll be one with other Yidden. We'll be one with our souls. We'll be one with Hashem. And we'll be one with every single Jew. So when we walk in to any place that seems different, and we start feeling like, these people, they do this wrong. Think, no, they are my brothers. Stop what you're doing. You're going to say, I don't like, they daven like this. They learn like this. They act like this. All these different things that always come up. Stop it now and think they are my brothers. I love them. And then think your thoughts. Think, what would Hashem want from me? What would my Avinu Shebashamayim, if he's our father, then we are all brothers. And if we're all brothers of one family, you don't walk into other places and saying them this and then that and then that and then that. You want to protect yourself from bad, from different ideologies you don't like and you feel aren't good for you? Find a way to do it that's not trashing other Yidden. When you trash other Yidden, you are trashing yourself. When you put others down, you are going down. When you dampen and darken others, you are going in the greatest darkness. Learn to live above. Learn to live higher. Learn to live that we're one family. And when you do that, I promise you, you'll be a happier life. You'll be more connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You'll be more connected to yourself. So let's try and live the lesson that we are running away from the chet of the Nachash. We're not trying to live history. We're trying to be above history. Let's rewrite history. Let's live with unity.